Give me just 60 seconds. Start the clock. There's Ahmed Al-Hadi Yassin Sarageldin, a former engineer for defense contractor Raytheon, who in 2020 was sentenced to 18 months in prison for keeping work-related documents at home without authorization. Then there's Air Force veteran Elizabeth Jo Shirley, who admitted in 2020 to unlawfully retaining national defense documents and was sentenced to 8 years in prison. There's former FBI analyst Kendra Kingsbury, whose investigation began as early as 2018 after taking home what the FBI called an astonishing volume of national security documents from 2004 to 2017. She later pleaded guilty to willful retention of national defense information and faces up to 10 years in federal prison. Fittingly, the lead prosecutor in her case has been part of the Trump Mar-a-Lago investigation, too. In 2019, Harold T. Martin III, an NSA contractor who, according to his lawyers, had undiagnosed autism and a hoarding disorder, was sentenced to 9 years in prison for storing a massive amount of classified materials in his home over the course of 20 years. There was Nia Hong Pho, an NSA employee who took classified documents to work from home in an attempt to work longer hours and receive a promotion before retirement. In 2018, he was sentenced to 5 years and 6 months in prison. And in 2018, there was Weldon Marshall, a defense contractor and former Navy sailor, who was sentenced to 41 months in prison after admitting to taking home classified documents during his time in the Navy and later on as a defense contractor. So, to be clear, Trump was fine with prosecuting people under the Espionage Act for taking classified documents home.
Pick a window.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
Welcome to the Ponderosa, my friends, for an evening of songs and stories about the American West.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
Stranger things have happened. But it is, as we are recording, Father's Day.
It is. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Which means everybody flaked. JC's off at Scottish Festival.
I know. It looks like he's having fun, too.
Yeah. Yeah. He does enjoy those things. And Taylor went to a concert somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, a long way away and is working her way back.
That's awesome.
Filling in this week, which makes me very happy, is Tiffany.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to see you. That means things are going well for me.
Yeah, I guess.
It is. So anyway, it's Father's Day. My mood is a little low today.
A little.
So my energy's not as big as it has been. And I know it's been a couple of weeks that I've been not my
usual
happy, angry self.
Yeah.
I've been more of a sad, angry self.
Yes.
Because you like what you like.
I like you angry.
Yes.
Passionately angry.
Yes.
Yes.
Like for a cause.
Right.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, on Father's Day.
God damn it, I wish these dogs would shut up. That's right. Sort of angry.
That's not fun.
No.
For anyone.
No, it's really not. Except for the dogs seem to be having a great fucking time. Yeah. They're quiet right now because we're not talking about news. But, you know, there's a story in the B block that I have no doubt they're going to go apeshit for
while I'm
trying to make a strong point. But, you know, he doesn't listen. Because for all of the shining example, you know, of how honestly, as close as you can get to an absence of toxic masculinity.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And still being a tough guy was my dad.
Right.
And so, you know, he oddly enough, didn't answer when I call earlier because he's at church.
He's at church.
Which I've always found odd.
That he still goes?
He's such a smart guy. Don't get why he's still suffering under this particular church delusion.
Yeah. Well, it's been their life for so long.
Yeah, you know what? You do what you do.
No, we're going to pop down and see him in a couple of weeks if finances work out.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too.
And it'd be nice. You need to get away.
I do need a little time. So we're working on that. But otherwise, I know just off the top of my head several fathers that listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And to the best of my knowledge, you've all done a cracking job.
Good job, fathers.
Good job.
And to all those single moms out there, too.
Can we not have a day?
You can have a day. We share your day. You can share.
Did you know there are single fathers, too?
I did.
I just didn't know if
they should be celebrated as well.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations, single fathers.
Thanks for that addendum. No, I do. I got kids and I'm divorced. And so Father's Day is a little bittersweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is, especially with the active participation in making everybody miserable that my ex is. You know?
I'm sorry.
Except for her. She doesn't make herself miserable.
No.
No. No, not at all.
She would not allow that.
Nope. Nope. But, I mean, that is what it is. So now, okay, now I'm feeling a little maudlin. Anyway, the show goes as fast as the show goes. I'm not really looking at the clock today.
Okay.
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 So, I mean, that's just really it. But it's been, there's a lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm all bummed out about today. And then there's the shit from out in the world that just kind of leaks in and sours an already sour mood.
Sure.
But Daniel Ellsberg, the Pentagon Papers whistleblower, passed away. He was 92. That's a good run.
It is.
That's a very good run. But as far as I'm concerned, Daniel Ellsberg is a fucking hero. He's an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And I've when I worked for Rocky, Ellsberg came in a ton.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
And so got to meet him for a few minutes.
Oh, wow. When was that?
2008, okay. I believe.
So he was arrested in 2005. Protesting the Iraq war.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. He was like 74 at the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, that's what he was. He was the most important anti-war whistleblower in the United States in U.S. history when he leaked the Pentagon Papers to the media in 1971. He died on Friday, 92 years old. Inoperable pancreatic cancer.
Mm.
Yeah. That really sucks.
What a legacy, though.
Yeah. Let's see. A quote is, as I look back on the last 60 years of my life, I think there's no greater cause to which I could have dedicated my efforts. When I copied the Pentagon Papers in 1969, I had every reason to think I would be spending the rest of my life behind bars. It was a fate I would have gladly accepted if it meant hastening the end of the Vietnam War, as unlikely as that seemed and was. But yeah, Daniel Ellsberg, as far as I'm concerned, fucking hero.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and for as much as Rocky disliked me and was a dick to me,
right?
You know, because I believe that dislike,
mm-hmm.
You know, I still value that time, sometimes for reasons like this,
yeah.
For the fact that I got to meet this dude.
That's really awesome.
Yeah. The other one was Phil Donahue. Do you remember? Oh, do you remember Donahue?
Yes, I know. He was married to Connie Chung.
Yeah.
Connie Chung?
I think so.
Chung.
Yeah. Yeah, I met him. He came through town, did a little lecture series for us. Same time, was working for Rocky. And I got to pull him aside and remind him who my grandmother was.
Oh, that's fun.
He's like, wait, your grandma's Barbara B. Smith? And I said, yeah. And he's like, what are you doing hanging out with him? And he points over at Rocky. And I'm like, trying to undo all the damage she did to the ERA. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, she really did. And I'm like, yeah, and you let her on your show to do it. And
remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny because what show was I watching? There was a show with Gloria Steinem, uh-huh. And I can't remember what that was called, about the whole thing. And the Phil Donahue tapes were in there, the segments. Yeah.
Yep. Wow. That was my grandma. She hated other women. You know, unless they were soulless, dutiful automatons.
They were 14-year-olds.
Something like that. And I remember because we were growing up in that time. And And I remember distinctly, you know, several conversations had among adults that they had in front of children who they just thought were too fucking dumb to pay attention. And yeah, the misogyny, the misogyny that was pattered about by the women of the church at the time, you know, was shocking to a very young me. And I didn't like it.
You were very enlightened at that age.
It was weird. It was like I figured out my atheism by age 8.
Right.
I got baptized anyway, because if you don't, you don't get to have friends in this state.
It's so true.
Yeah.
You don't get to have your Sunday dinner.
No.
Your little party.
No. You know, dad's big point for years, both before and after that, to try and calm me down and push me away from my heathen direction. You know, it was always that you can't judge a church by its members. To which I remember answering at a very young age of about 9, then how do you judge them? Because those are the examples out in the world.
Yeah.
And one of my biggest examples out in the world was my grandmother, who did not believe that women deserved equal rights.
I know, it's crazy.
It's nuts. It's I still don't understand women that vote Republican.
I
never
don't
have.
Either. No, don't get it. Doesn't make any sense.
But then again, you know, I think we know I'm a big fan of Joe Biden around here.
Yeah.
I do like Joe. One of the few political conversations my grandfather and I ever had was, he's like, I don't really mind most of them, but I hate Joe Biden.
Way back then?
Yeah. Yeah, way back then. And I still remember the first time I met Joe Biden. It was double special because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I'm just like, oh! When my grandparents passed, there were small allotments given out to the grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those grandchildren who led a churchy life and did churchy things and stuff like that got a little more.
Probably because they paid their tithing.
Sure.
That's what happens.
Yeah. And I render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and everybody else can bite me. But the stipend that I received from the estate, I used to run for office as a Democrat.
I love that.
I used dead relative money.
I love that so much.
Yeah. Because it just dropped out. It just dropped in my lap. I'm in the middle of a campaign. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm absolutely. It paid for half my mailing.
Oh, awesome.
So, you know, I've always felt pretty good about myself for doing that. You know, should have bought a car. Should have got a better air conditioner. There's a whole bunch of stuff I should have done. And instead, I did that because, you know. Anyway. Ellsberg's dead. Yeah. So, Representative Jasmine Crockett out of Texas apologized to a committee witness on Wednesday after Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado doxed the witness. It was an oversight committee hearing on government regulations, and Lauren, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She always likes to make a scene.
Oh, she really does. But she was complaining that there were some families that had lost their homes because of red tape. It may not be a $2.5 million home like yours, she said, but that sounds a lot like red tape to me, the lawmaker told Professor Sally Katzen. Katzen replied, excuse me, I really take that as a personal attack. My home. Boebert said, do you agree this was overreach? And Katzen said, I disagree that you're casting aspersions on me. Fair.
Right.
Fair. Following the questions, the acting chair warned members to adhere to the rules of decorum, and Crockett offered an apology to Katzen, saying, this committee runs my pressure up, and I do come prepared to committee. And then there's always someone from this side that does something ridiculous and throws me all the way off. So, oh, Jesus. First of all, let me apologize because that was uncalled for. So let me do what she would never do, which is be an adult in this room or in this chamber. Crockett accused Boebert of trying to spew nonsense about regulations.
Yeah, she didn't hold back.
Nope. Unfortunately, she also left the room and was not there to hear herself being recriminated.
I know, I saw that.
Yeah. Little shit.
She got right up and left after that.
Yeah, they don't really do the work. They show up, they get their sound bite on C-SPAN, and they take off.
That's what it feels like.
Yep. AOC's been
exactly
complaining about that.
Exactly like that. And that's what she wanted, too.
Yep. Saturn's moon, Enceladus. I'm saying that wrong. I know I'm saying that wrong.
I didn't know how you were going to pronounce that.
Is habitable.
Okay.
Wow, I am off my game today. Anyway, scientists have discovered high levels of phosphorus in the ocean sprays of Saturn's moon, Enceladus, marking the first time that this essential ingredient for life has ever been detected in extraterrestrial seawater. That's pretty fucking cool.
It really is.
The breakthrough reveals that Enceladus is stocked with all the right materials to support life as we know it, and hints that phosphorus may be present in other possible ocean worlds far from Earth, such as Neptune's moon Triton or the dwarf planet Pluto. But at this point, nobody knows if any of these places are actually inhabited by aliens, but the new results bolster the evidence that habitable conditions may be common in the solar system and perhaps beyond.
Ooh, another planet we can fuck up.
Yeah, well, it'd still be nice to have somewhere to hang out while we look for somewhere else to hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a tiny ice world, measures about 300 miles across. So not a lot of us are going there.
I know.
There's only
the chosen people.
What it lacks in size, it makes up for with its subsurface ocean. Though its marine environment is hidden under the moon's icy shell, plumes of seawater erupt into space from geysers on the surface. NASA's Cassini spacecraft was fortuitously able to scoop up some of the frozen moon juice during its final years in orbit around Saturn, offering an unprecedented look at the content of the extraterrestrial ocean.
What is moon juice?
They're just using a turn of phrase for the water that's squirting up out of the geysers. Okay. They are. But that's really cool. And then moving on from one science to another, the human predilection for phallic imagery is well documented. Take a look at the scrawling in any high school locker room. But a pendant recently found in northern Mongolia suggests our species has been artistically recreating the penis for at least 42,000 years.
We've always had the dick pics.
You know, I had in my old office, I had a dry erase board.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime I left it unsupervised with my children from about age four on.
Four?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Maybe seven or eight.
Okay.
Okay. But anyway, they would draw dicks on it.
Yeah.
All over it.
I remember that board.
Yep. And I left them up because it was funny. But according to researchers behind a study of this pendant, published this week in Nature Scientific Reports, the 4.3 centimeter piece of carved graphite is the earliest known sexed anthropomorphic representation.
I don't know how they can tell that by that.
I'm going to go with chemical analysis.
That looks like nothing to me. That looks like a rock. Like, how do they know what that was supposed to be?
Okay, imagine for a second it was covered in silicon, right? Okay.
No.
The on button's right there. This is the part you hold, right? Right? And then this is the part that wiggles.
See Wait, it? What's the part that wiggles?
This whole front end right here.
That's not very long.
It's not. You know, it's probably just for clitoral stimulation.
Okay, I guess, but
all they had was rocks back then, babe. There were no AA batteries.
That's true. They had tongues, though. Seems like that would work better.
Sometimes you just don't have one handy.
That's true.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm at work.
I know. You work long hours in the evening, too. It's very rough.
Anyway, the pendant would predate cave art. At the Grotte Chauvet, I said that wrong, in France, that depicts vulvas. So at least there's some graffiti for the ladies.
Good.
Or is that for the men?
It's for the ladies.
It's for both.
Yeah.
Yeah. dates back 32,000 years. It would even edge out the Venus of Hohle Fels statue found in southwestern Germany that may be 40,000 years old. But not everyone, yourself included, is convinced that the Mongolian pendant represents a phallus.
I'm a skeptic.
You are a skeptic. The pendant was unearthed in 2016 at a site called Tolbor in Mongolia's northern Khangai Mountains. Radiocarbon dating, the organic material found near it, puts the artifact between 42,400 and 41,900 years old, a fragment of an ostrich eggshell pendant. Ostrich eggshell beads and other stone pendants and animal bone pieces were found in the same sedimentary level. I'm just saying, some Neanderthal lady used this to get her rocks off.
I think that they used a lot of rocks. I'm just saying that there's probably rocks that are a lot better than that one.
This is just one they found with a collection of other cool stuff.
Okay.
So maybe it's just what she liked.
I just feel like they should have wanted more than that.
They were much shorter.
That lady's disappointed, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I have no doubt. Sorry about that. And... But yeah, they were all very much, they were smaller.
Okay.
You couldn't John Holmes a lady like that.
Oh, sure.
You'd kill her.
You would.
Kill her. Hey, you might be wondering why there's all this fun science, fun news here happening at the top of the show. It's because the rest of the show is a shit show. And we're going to take a break and we'll get back on the other side.
More shit.
More shit.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And JC.
Just wanted to talk to you for a minute about Patreon. Patreon.com. Patreon.com. That's where we raise the money to put these shows on each and every week. For those of you that weren't paying attention, we didn't hit our fundraising goals this year, and so we need your help to keep the shows going.
Please.
Now, more than ever.
Oh.
We don't say that.
I thought we were not being aggressive.
Yeah, that's bad political writing is on right there.
In the arms of the angels.
There you go. You do that. So, anyway, every week that we record, we put special content behind a paywall over at patreon.com/dfanmedia for you to listen to so that you know deep down inside you're better than everyone else. patreon.com/dfanmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Join us over there, will you? It's pennies on the dollar.
Please.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Luke 6:38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
I feel like I'm at church.
My command is this. John 15:12-13. Love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down life for one's friends.
How can we skew this?
Romans 12:9-10. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. One another above yourselves. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Hebrews 13:16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for is it with such sacrifices God is pleased. This is in the book.
The book.
The book that you can't read in the Davis County Elementary because it's all fucked up. But there's some stuff in that book that's not so bad.
Okay.
I just read a few of those. Hey, let's hear what Kent Christmas,
how did he interpret that?
Let's find out. at some point. Sorry, there's a
little delay.
I am at war with evil. Hallelujah. This is one preacher that's not backing down. I can tell you this, I will give my life for the gospel.
Okay.
You want to know why the Muslim faith has had its advancements? It's because the Muslims were willing to die for their belief. They were willing to strap bombs to their chest. They believed in the afterlife. God, give us some men and women that'll get a hold of some passion in their spirit that says, I will lay down my life for the gospel.
Wait. What?
Great.
I just read a whole bunch of Jesus quotes. Not a single one mentioned suicide bombings.
But that's what they were leading towards.
Is it?
Yeah.
Do unto
others.
How'd
you not get that?
As you would have them do unto you, and what's do unto you is an explosion? Weird.
So dangerous.
Let's see how he rounds out the last 10 seconds of this clip, shall we?
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
This same was born in blood.
Okay.
That was it.
Okay.
Well.
1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to make him the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And all of that talk of Jesus blowing people up, just like the Muslims.
Just like Muslims. And their advancements.
Yeah, they've made advancements.
They've made advancements? Hello?
Let's take a long look at, I don't know. Just,
how
I'm
long
just
has Christianity
here.
Been along? And yeah. How, yeah.
Palestine?
Boy.
Syria?
Yeah.
Where else? Where else are the Muslims getting ahead right now?
I don't know.
Are they? But this is what American Jesus wants you to do. He wants you to murder people.
Yeah. He wants you to treat people shitty, to be mean and cruel, and to judge. That's what he wants. I mean, that's what this pastor wants. It's scary how much power they hold.
Deuteronomy,
over people.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 15:7-8. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites, but he means people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In any of the towns of the land that your Lord God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. So close the border.
Mm-hmm.
Stop feeding children school lunch. Because, you know, your church, folks, those of you that church, your church, some churches do some charity shit. They do. They do. But did you know that most of the food kitchens in Utah are closed on Saturday and Sunday?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And okay, you're doing good deeds. You're doing good deeds during bankers' hours. You know, Monday through Friday.
Yeah. Well, that's why
that's
they
better than doing nothing.
That's why they do so many things on Sunday. Like, so for all the kids that were displaced by their families on Sunday, they had somewhere to go.
Yep. So from one bad guy to another, children's track and field meet in Kelowna, British Columbia, was interrupted last week when a man allegedly accused a 9-year-old girl of being transgender. Why? Because that little girl beat his granddaughter in a race.
Jesus wept.
Oh, it gets worse. It gets so much worse. The girl competing in the track meet last Thursday was not transgender, but sported a pixie haircut. But, you know, I'd look adorable in a pixie.
You would.
Yeah. The day, which started out positive as a girl placed in the discus event, took a dark turn when a man began accusing her of being transgender. A nine-year-old.
That's insane. People are insane.
The LGBTQ plus community has been thrust into political debates recently as conservative lawmakers attempt to pass legislation limiting their rights, keeping discussions of gender identity out of the schools. While President Joe Biden has defended transgender athletes' ability to compete, support for transgender athletes has declined over the last 2 years, regardless of political affiliation. Because you know what? Let's be honest. Democrats can be just as fucking awful sometimes as Republicans.
Yeah.
Nah, not as much and not as often and not as many people, but they're there.
Still.
They're there. They all, as far as I know, belong to you know, that no parties bullshit.
Oh, yeah, like Kristen Sinema.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you know better, you do better. And when you don't, shame on you. That's fucked up.
Life is learning as much as you can, as often as you can, you know, and part of that is empathy. And what a lot of people lack, especially here in America right now, is fucking empathy.
So they don't get it.
They just don't get it. But a recent Gallup poll found 69% of Americans agree that transgender athletes should play on sports teams that match their birth gender. Boo. Up from 62% in 2021. Republicans and independents are more likely to take the stance. 48% of Democrats agree that transgender athletes should compete on sports teams that match their birth gender. An increase from 41%.
48%? That's it?
Half.
Of Democrats?
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
It's super fucked up. So this dude, this asshole in Canada, caused himself a bit of a scene. Even asking the girl's mother, Heidi Starr, for a certificate of proof that her daughter was female.
My God.
Then he was asked to leave, and the event was moved to a different area. However, the dude didn't leave. Continued to cause a scene. Heidi Starr told Newsweek that while the man was demanding proof that her daughter was born female, his wife called her and the other girl's mother genital mutilators, groomers, and pedophiles.
Wow.
Starr said that the man claimed that her daughter and another girl with short hair should be disqualified from competing. The event negatively impacted Starr's daughter, no shit, who shook and cried.
But I hope this would get the same amount of traction if it was a transgender student playing and not that it wasn't, you know?
I mean, I'm with you on that, and I absolutely wish that it would. There's two things. And the first is that, to me, the dude did it to a kid. I don't, you know.
Yeah, a 9-year-old.
Yeah. And you know, the second is that there's not a lot of transgender athletes competing in high school sports right now.
Right.
Junior high sports, elementary sports.
No.
Because they are isolated, alone, and afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, the women's sports law they passed in Utah, one kid. That was for one fucking kid. Yeah. How do you think that one fucking kid feels knowing that all those assholes up on the fucking hill, you know, did that to punish them in specific? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's four more transgender athletes. Those are all headed the other direction. Mm. And, you know, not a fucking word about that.
No.
No. Nope. Nope. All I know is that had I been there.
Oh, I would have seen some passionate anger.
There would have been some jail time on the other end. You know?
No doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Dodger Stadium had a pride night. Dodgers invited a drag group that satirizes nuns to its annual Pride Night, a move that infuriated some Catholics.
Did they looked fabulous, though.
I had to take time away from all this child molestation and altar boy grabbing to pay attention to drag queens dressed like nuns?
Because,
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't pay attention when priests molest little kids.
Nope.
Not at all. Or when nuns have been shown to have been physically abusive over the last few centuries to the point of fucking murder, looking at all of those indigenous schools.
Yeah.
Yeah, where all those kids died. Guess who was looking up after them?
Yeah. Nuns. The nuns. You're right.
But so God forbid somebody puts on a little heavy makeup.
You know, and it costs you.
And makes fun of you, you murderous, genocidal fucksticks. I mean, that's really what it is.
This night wasn't about them anyway.
Nope.
It's like, who cares?
Yep. The team rescinded an invitation to an LGBTQ group called the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to be on at a Pride night. The sisters performers, you know, in drag, are active in protests and charitable programs. Last week, after a vehement backlash from LGBTQ plus groups and their allies, the Dodgers reversed course, re-inviting the Sisters Los Angeles chapter to be honored for its charity work and apologized to the LGBTQ community, which, fuck you, sporto.
I'm glad that they did that. I mean, they needed to, but they fucked up in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There was no need to cancel that. Didn't you see the stadium? It was packed.
It was more full than average.
Right.
Yep. Yeah, it was absolutely fucking packed.
Sheesh. But,
yeah, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, Archbishop Jose Gomez have called on the faithful to join together in praying the Litany of the Sacred Heart this Friday, June 16th, as an act of reparation for blasphemy and sacrilege. Not the Catholic Church well-documented history of child abuse,
no,
kiddie porn, and rape. They're not gonna have their little fucking prayer for that. They're gonna keep hiding that and moving priests away and acting like it's not a big fucking deal. Meanwhile, name one fucking child molesting drag queen right now.
I can't,
but I can go through one fucking archdiocese after another, mm-hmm, of bad behavior since long before the Spanish Inquisition, and you can't tell me that the Spanish Inquisition was not all about child molestation anyway. Because, you know what? It was. I said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there were some sick fucks in that one, and they basically have a bent. Representative Tricia Cotham, former Democrat, quit being a Democrat in 2015, switched parties so that she could help pass an abortion ban in North Carolina.
How does that work? Can you just switch parties midterm?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
And then you just, so you switch parties and then you start caucusing with the other party?
You caucus with the other party.
Whoa.
Yeah. On the back end, now, in a normal state party apparatus, they'd cut off support. You know, mm-hmm, no more money, no more volunteers, no more voter file, none of this or that and the other. Whereas in Utah, we just go out and find right wing candidates and pull Democratic support and hand it to the right wingers. You know, as we don't punish people who stab us in the back and hunt our children.
Mm.
Evan McMullen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do that. No, what we do is we kick ourselves in the nuts several times,
yeah,
make our party look even more fucking pointless than it was in the first place, and then we run around and we pat each other on the back about how we didn't lose by as much as we thought we would if we had done no, it in the right way.
That's so true. Oh, it's so embarrassing, and that's so true. That's exactly what happened.
It is. And so many people that I used to respect just went along with it.
Yeah.
You know?
They did.
And then some of them have gone on record saying, no, it was fucking great. We consider it a success. Because if there is one thing that Utah Democrats do better than anybody else in the world is take losses as wins because, we lost two, could have been three. Victory!
We pushed the, what do they say? We pushed the mark. We pushed the, whatever you call it.
We had, when I was doing it, you know, for a couple of years with the DNC, we had constant messaging all year round.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. I mean, that's really what it was. We had one dude doing political field work. We had one doing, you know, political strategy. And then we had one dude doing communications. He was the best looking. And we had substantial gains that election that we led up to that cycle as that. Comes around the other side of that, I get fired for pissing off the congressman again over children's issues,
right?
You know, and then Barack Obama comes along, as much as I love him, kills the fucking program, turns into Obama for America, blows off all the red states, goes to battleground states, you know, basically just cut off all the funding, everybody gets fired, and now it has been either a break even or a statistical loss ever since.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that little handful of fucking seats downtown, and that is
it.
There's no breaking out. There's no messaging. There's no forward planning. There's no forward looking. There's no forward fucking direction. All they're doing is looking for another fucking Republican to run as an independent using donations that Democrats gave to the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's where we are. So anyway, Tricia Cotham delivered an emotional speech in 2015 in opposition to proposed waiting periods for women seeking abortion. She shared her personal story. This decision was up to me, my husband, my doctor, and my God. It was not up to any of you in this chamber. She went and got an abortion for the health of the mother herself. She stood up in front of all of these people and in front of video cameras and on the record of the North Carolina State House.
She said it.
She said, I got an abortion. I did it on purpose. But now she's getting guff. Yeah. She's getting guff from the Republicans that she's run over and joined. And so she says, no, I didn't. You can't prove it. She's basically pulling a Santa, or what's his name? George Santos?
Santos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's lying. Because she's a liar. She's a backstabbing dipshit liar. What she should probably do is move to Utah and work for the McMullen campaign.
They do this now. They just come out, they say shit, and then they just come out and lie about it.
You show them the video clip of it, and they're like, oh,
no,
that's out of context.
That's edited.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't matter that it's 12 fucking minutes long and played in its entirety. It's obviously taken out of context. Yeah.
Which she shouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed of what she did. She needed to have an abortion to save her life.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not good enough for Republicans anymore. You know, die.
Yeah.
That'll solve their problem.
Yeah.
All right.
Die a martyr.
Ted Cruz has lost his fucking mind.
Okay. Did he ever have it?
It's a good point. But Ted Cruz suggested this week that Pat Benatar's music is the music that atheists play during child sacrifice.
That was his best shot.
Fire away.
Fire away.
Fire away. During a Wednesday interview with host Joe Pags, Cruz was asked whether the U.S. Senate would convict Joe Biden if he were ever impeached. You know, let me play it and see just what we get out of this. Okay? Stand by. I apologize about the sound. It is Ted Cruz's voice.
Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. I've got my senator on. He is the junior senator from the great state of Texas. It's Ted Cruz. How are you, Ted? Good to see you.
Pags, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm living the dream. So I see this six plus minute thing that you did yesterday with this this Deputy Director Paul Abada from the FBI. And it started out cordial enough, and it started out where you're just requesting some answers to some very simple questions about an unclassified document, this FD 1025 or 1023. And this guy literally said to you, I'm not stonewalling. As he said, I won't answer your questions. Yep. Ted, as the representative of me and the millions and tens of millions of people in Texas, and even more broadly, the United States, how frustrating must it be that you're asking simple remedial questions and these people that we're paying big dollars to won't answer you?
Well, it's infuriating. And under Joe Biden, DOJ and the FBI have been so profoundly politicized. In the past week, we've had bombshell allegations come out where a whistleblower came forward and said there's direct evidence that Joe Biden, when he was vice president, took a $5 million bribe.
Yeah, this would be the whistleblower that no one can find and no one remembers his name.
Yeah, convenient.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was not the clip I wanted to play. The clip I wanted to play is right here, just not loading. Not loading at all. So let's see. Real quick, let me try and post that up. And here we go.
If the Senate gets the impeachment and a trial is held, do you think you could ever get a supermajority to remove him?
I don't think Senate Democrats, if you had video of Joe Biden murdering children dressed as the devil under a full moon while singing Pat Benatar, they still wouldn't vote to convict.
That's nuts, Ted.
Yeah. Yeah. Nuts. I don't think you and I are hitting that nuts from the same direction, though, Fat Face. I don't remember his name. Joe Fat Face, I think it was. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll get back on the other side. It's more shit show.
completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
So, we have to talk about the Tangerine Despot a little bit. I'm so sorry. The first one, should I save this for the last one? Because this is actually good news.
Okay.
Should we save that for the last
one? Yeah.
Let me scoot that one over and we'll start over here. The special counsel, Jack Smith, has sought a court order to ensure that Trump and his defense don't share materials turned over in discovery. Basically, they're like, hey, all those classified documents you guys stole, don't talk about them. Some more. Yeah. But, yeah, the team's asking the judge, who we already know we got problems with.
Yeah.
Eileen Cannon.
Right. Trump appointed her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen the pictures? She was at a Trump rally wearing a Team Trump cowboy hat.
No.
Team Trump t-shirt.
Oh, no.
And then had red, white, and blue tears stenciled on her face under her eyes.
That's so embarrassing.
Oh, God,
it is. For any candidate, why would you do that if you're a judge? I don't get it. It's so bizarre to me.
Yep. But in a new filing on Friday, Smith's team said that among the unclassified materials that prosecutors are set to turn over to the defense is, quote, information pertaining to ongoing investigations, the discourse of which could compromise those investigations, and identified, and this is my favorite part. You ready for these two words?
Yeah.
These two words are so fucking
okay.
good.
Okay.
Uncharged individuals.
Uncharged.
Yep. Like all those dipshits that run around, including 10 members of the United States House of Representatives that went to this stupid fucking meeting on the 5th or the 4th or something. Yeah. The filing, which includes a proposed protective order, is an expected procedural step now that Trump has entered his not guilty plea. Oh, God. He's so guilty.
Allegedly.
It's like that word has lost all meaning.
Yeah.
Anyway, the U.S. District Court Judge Eileen Cannon, who just wants to gobble Trump's nuts something fierce. Every time you see a picture of her looking at him, she's just like, I want to gobble your tangerine taint.
Gross. You can't
allegedly
gobble that.
You probably could with his.
Ew.
I'm imagining
I get hanged so low.
The gonorrhea has left some scar tissue.
Lots of skin. Oh.
Anyway, she referred the matter to U.S. Magistrate Bruce Reinhart. Keep that man's taint away from me, says Bruce Reinhart.
He'll have none of that.
Yeah. Reinhart's the guy who approved the search warrant for the FBI to execute at Mar-a-Lago last year. Okay. I've made myself sick to my stomach.
That's awful.
Hey, speaking of things that make me sick to my stomach, RNC chair Ronna McDaniel, you know, related to Mitt Romney.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. I think she's his niece.
Oh.
They're related anyway. And so she's very mean to him.
She's boring as fuck.
Oh, yeah. She says, and I quote, Hillary Clinton never was investigated. I'm sorry, who? Who again? That gave an 11-hour interview? Wasn't that
so long?
Hillary Clinton? Here, I gotta hear it. You gotta hear it.
Incredibly divided country. And when Republicans feel like there's one system of justice for them and a different for Democrats, there's one standard for Hillary Clinton and a different for Donald Trump, it doesn't help bring our country together. And
but the allegations are not the same for Hillary Clinton.
But we,
without defending.
You know, because she never was investigated. She was investigated. She had a bleach bit server. She had a bleach bit. She destroyed phones.
But she was investigated, and we very famously had, you know, the FBI director at the time
level.
Talking about that. But isn't that because of the level of the allegations is different?
She had 22 top secret documents. Trump had 17.
He had more than that.
That weren't later on. He was holding on to U.S. nuclear secrets, information about U.S. allies.
I haven't seen
and their
the process
weaknesses.
Play out, and he hasn't had a chance to defend himself. But we know this. We know that she didn't get indicted. We know her home wasn't raided. We know his was. We also know we have a president in Joe Biden who isn't addressing the American people in a time of crisis, a deeply divided country. I think a former president being indicted is a time of crisis.
Oh, come on. And to not hear
from our president, to have Joe Biden hiding again and not bringing people together is very disconcerting. So we'll let the process play out, but I will...
You know that the reason he has to fix the problem of people being divided is because of you.
Yes.
It's because of you.
And he's done a great job, I think, staying back, letting the DOJ do what they need to do and not get involved.
Yep. Yep.
What's he supposed to do? Wait, so how does she make Mitt Romney mean? She's mean to him?
Oh, she's very mean to him.
How?
Just talking shit on him because he's not... Look.
He's not conservative enough?
Yeah, that's what one of the things she says.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't tickle the taint with his tongue.
Yeah, he doesn't.
The tangerine taint. Boy, oh, I could have had a great alliteration. I really could have done it, but I didn't. I missed it. Anyway, since he refuses, you know, to take a tiny cock in his mouth.
A lot of skin.
A lot of skin. You know. Tiny balls. Big ball sack.
Big okay, that's where I was getting at.
Yeah, paints a little picture. Yeah. Paints a little picture. Yeah. Anyway.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, it is a little nuts. Trump, on the other hand, would like an apology, all the charges dropped, and all of his classified documents back.
And he would like to be president.
Yep. When Representative Adam Schiff, the lead Democratic prosecutor in Donald Trump's Senate impeachment trial, said the now former president, quote, will not change, and you know it, end quote. Absolutely nailed the landing. Twice impeached, twice indicted, sexually abusing former president, should be fighting for his life. Still, his narcissistic brain cannot admit wrongdoing, even when he's facing 71 charges so far. So he went to social media. Say that he's owed an apology. Called special counsel Jack Smith deranged. Said everything was illegally taken from his Florida resort and should be returned. Quote... This is all caps, but you know what, guys? I do not have the heart to yell it. All caps. So now everyone understands that the Presidential Records Act plus Clinton Sox case totally exonerated me from continuing witch hunt brought on by corrupt Joe Biden, the DOJ, deranged Jack Smith, all their radical left Marxist thugs. When are they going to drop all these? This is all one sentence so far, by the way.
Yeah.
When are they going to drop all the charges against me, apologize, return everything that was illegally taken? Parenthetical. Fourth Amendment. Close parenthetical. From my home, this was nothing other than election interference! Exclamation point 1, 2, 3. Like a child.
Yep.
Like a very... Yep.
I hope come election time, everyone is just sick of this. Everyone is exhausted. Everyone's just fucking over it.
Yeah. Some people are.
Some people are.
Some are not.
I know some Trump supporters that are, like, over him.
Some.
I mean, they're not loud about it. They're like, oh, I voted for him. I think maybe I'll vote for someone else next time.
Oopsie daisy. I ruined the country.
Yeah.
Donald Trump's indictment, however, has helped to boost MSNBC's primetime weekly ratings.
Good job.
To winning over Fox News.
Woo-hoo!
Donald Trump's indictment on federal charges helped propel MSNBC to a weekly ratings win in primetime. The network averaged 1.5 million viewers in primetime Monday through Sunday compared to 1.5 for Fox News. That ended a 120-week winning streak for Fox News. CNN, around 675.
Well, I know we listen to MSNBC every morning.
Sorry.
I know that because it drives me fucking crazy.
I know you do. I'm so sorry.
I don't mind the news. I like the news.
It's fucking the Joe Scarborough?
It's Joe.
Yeah, but it's what's on.
But he's so obnoxious. I just can't stand him.
Depending on who CNN hires to replace the dipshit they just kicked out that broke the network, I might start throwing a little bit of CNN morning in there for you.
Okay.
But yeah, right now, when the best liberal news I can get in the morning is a former douchebag that I can't stand,
yeah.
I have a Joe Scarborough story.
You do?
I do.
Okay,
it's about what an asshole he is. So in 2008, we're out in Denver.
That's my point.
Yeah, we're out in Denver, and it's two of my least favorite people in this story. I love this story. And I'm desperately trying to remember her name. Really. Oh, Andrea Mitchell. I hate Andrea Mitchell.
She's a good reporter, though.
She is a really good reporter. She should write many reports.
Right. Yeah.
Because otherwise, all she just sits there and does is mumble shit at people. She loses her place. She can't figure out what questions she's asking. But when she writes it all down first, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's a goddamn jewel. She's a fucking national treasure. Make no mistake. Except when you point a TV camera at her on her 1 hour fucking show during the day.
Right.
It's garbage. It's absolutely awful.
It's not the worst show for me.
No, because you can't fucking hear her because she's mumbling. So, of course, you're not mad. You don't know she's talking.
Melissa Harris Perry was like, even on NPR, I want to like her so much and I can't. I just can't do it. She has that. She has a lisp.
Yeah, I miss Tiffany Cross.
Yeah, I liked her.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay, so anyway, your story.
Oh, so I'm in the stadium. We've got all this, you know, Democrat convention going on. Yeah. It's fucking great. I'm having a great time.
Awesome.
And then we get stuck. And the crowd's trying to move forward and everybody gets stuck. And if I recall correctly, it's because we all wanted to see Joe Biden come out on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I, just being of size,
yes,
just kept saying, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. And people kept getting out of my way. I wasn't pushing.
Yeah.
Because that's douche. You know,
you could just pick them up and move them as you've done before.
Some people deserve that for being garbage people. But anyway, as I get far enough to see what's going on, it's Joe Scarborough and Andrea Mitchell standing in the middle of the goddamn door that we're all trying to get into, just having a fucking chat.
Oh, okay.
You know, they've each got their little entourage.
Oh.
Andrea Mitchell didn't even have a fucking camera crew with her. And they were just a wall of people. It was like trying to drive on a Utah highway with a Mormon block. And they just did it for like 3 or 4 more minutes.
Jeez. And oblivious. So,
totally oblivious. To which I, about 15 to 20 feet away, was heard to maybe say, with a tone and some volume, could you move the fuck out of the way? Now? And everybody around me started to clap. And they moved. And I have, you know, I hated Joe Scarborough at the time.
Yeah.
I really
did.
Because he was weird fucking Republican.
He's a Republican?
Joe Scarborough? Oh, yeah.
Oh, I hate him even more.
Sorry.
Damn it.
I probably should have kept that one to myself.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Nope, he's a Republican. He was one of those fucking Tea Party douchebags.
He a Tea Partier?
Yeah, he was a Tea Bagger.
What is he doing on MSNBC?
They gave him a show when he left Congress.
That's what I don't understand, because I feel like it's his show, Morning Joe, but they're co-anchors.
There's like 10 people.
Yeah.
But it's him and Mika Krasinski.
Mika
is a lefty. Her dad was an ambassador, like some super ambassador, you know, cape and all. And then they started doing the show together. And then over time, whatever the Republican version of love was, festered in his heart, you know, his tiny, drippy, black stained, tarred heart. And Mika, I guess, was probably just ground down by the misogyny of it all.
Yeah.
And finally gave in to shut him up.
I can't stand him. He mansplains.
Yeah.
He talks down to her. Yep. I don't like it.
Yep. You know, she could have done way better.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, way to go, MSNBC. All right, gang, that's it for the show. Do me a favor. We're going to head over to Patreon right now, patreon.com/defendmedia. Patreon.com/defendmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. That is where we, every week that we record, go to do a special show for the squad that shows up there. It's fun. a lot of the time. A little more deep dive, a little more personal.
All the good secrets are revealed.
Yeah, more swearing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, tops off. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Anyway, join us over at patreon.com, or you can go over to theleftshow.com, buy merch. We've got some merch to buy. We don't make a profit on the merch. I have taken it down to its absolute statistical lowest price.
Yeah. And yep. The merch is good.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think there's
you always get compliments when you wear your stuff.
Yeah, I know. I do, don't I?
Yep.
Aw. Thanks, folks. Anyway, I'm still doing a little fundraising over there on my Facebook page, the JM Bell. If anybody wants to help out there, I'd appreciate it. It would probably help pull me out of this funk a little bit. Mm-hmm. I got to pay that fucking lawyer.
Yep.
Yep. Regardless, as down as I am, I know deep down inside, I got you guys. So thanks for listening. Tiffany, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, I was happy to be here.
It's like a Father's Day treat.
Good.
I really enjoyed it.
You deserve it.
Anyway, everybody, let's do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DFenMedia. This episode and more, always available at www.theleftshow.com.